We're in a series on spiritual fitness. And take your Bibles, and I want you to turn over to John's Gospel, chapter 16. We've been in this series from the New Testament about ridding ourselves, just like a person at the start of the year tries to lose some weight, or they go on an exercise or a diet program. The fact is, we're saying, Lord, what do you want us to get rid of? What should we rid ourselves on and then put on the full armor of God? We've talked in this series about stress management from a spiritual perspective. We've looked at this idea of depression and anger. And then we looked at prolonged anger regarding bitterness. And then we've understood that we're looking at these negative feelings because the enemy, and even at times our emotions, wants to ruin our lives, ruin our marriages, steal the joy from our lives. You and I, as God's people, no matter what we're going through, I submit to you, we ought to be people of joy. Amen. God's people should be people of joy. But these emotions at different times would like to steal our joy. Last week, we looked at this idea of being anxious or anxiety. And it's anxiety, we said last week, it's more than just worrying. It's prolonged worrying, if you will. This morning, I want to deal with the subject. I shared with Pastor David, our guest worship leader today, that Ron and I have kind of been intrigued in the series because I'm covering a lot of ground I never have in my 31 years of ministry here. And so it's been new, it's been refreshing for me, it's helped me to be introspective as well. And I've never preached an entire message on loneliness. But I want to speak to you today about this idea of remote living and how to deal with loneliness. If you had been in the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville, Tennessee, on June 11th, 1949, you would have heard a young singer from Alabama. His name was Hank Williams. His son, if more of you would maybe remember, made famous Monday Night Football. Are you ready for some football? That was Hank Williams Jr. But Hank Williams Sr. sang that night, and he mesmerized the crowd. He was called back that night, June 11th, a record 8 different times for 8 encores. He gave haunting lyrics that was representative in his mournful voice, the expert said. And it had a way of touching people's hearts that were there that night. A good example of one of his songs was what? The fact is that he said, only the lonely could cry, or I'm so lonesome I could cry. I love the different lyrics. Listen to them. Hear that lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is whining low. I'm so lonesome I could cry. When time comes crawling by, the moon just went behind a cloud to hide its face and cry the silence of a falling star. Lights up a purple sky as I wonder where you are. I'm so lonesome I could cry. Have you ever felt so lonely you could cry? Millions of people in our culture feel that way. That's why songs about being lonely are so prevalent in a popular theme in country music. But not exclusively in country music, but in great part in country music. Eddie Arnold sang a song entitled, "The Last Word in Lonesome is Me." Farron Young sang a song entitled, "Underkissed and Over Lonely." Waylon Jennings wrote a song called, "Lonesome, Ornery, and Mean." And it was sad. Just less than a month ago, on February 5th, Toby Keith passed away of stomach cancer. But he recorded a song. I love the title. If you're here to see the lonely, it's standing room only. Fact is, he was talking about a group, but the double entendre obviously means, you know what? People are lonely. But it wasn't only just country music. I asked Pastor Dan, a song came to my head. That's how my mind works. It's just racing. I wrote it down and passed it to Pastor Dan. I said, Google this for me. Remember a song from The Motels, Only the Lonely Can Play in 1982. Anybody remember that song? Some, oh yeah, wow. But loneliness is more than just the subject of country music and pop songs. People from all walks of life, they experience loneliness. Prosperity can't insure against it. Position can't rise above it, and power can't stand before loneliness. Can anybody, right, anywhere, at any time, at any place, be more miserable than someone who feels they have no one who cares about them, loves them, or looks after them? In a 2020 survey by the health insurer Cigna, 3 of 5 Americans said they were lonely, a 7% increase from 2018, right in the heart as the pandemic began. Social media users were, quote, significantly more likely to feel alone, isolated, left out, or without companionship. In 2019, a New York Times article featured a study of loneliness and deemed our society as, quote, experiencing a loneliness epidemic. In fact, the article said, quote, loneliness and weak social connections are associated with a reduced lifespan, similar to someone smoking 15 cigarettes a day, and are associated with having a greater risk of reduced lifespan than someone with obesity. The man you see on the screen, 2 different times he has served as the U.S. Surgeon General. His name is Dr. Vivek Murthy. And he stated, quote, during my years caring for patients, the most common pathology I saw was not heart disease or diabetes. It was loneliness. In January 19, 2019, U.S. Health and Resources Services Administration said 2 in 5 Americans report they sometimes are or always feel their social relationships are not meaningful, and 1 in 5 say they feel lonely or socially isolated. They also reported that Brigham Young University professor Julianne Holt Lundstad, who in April 2017 testified to the U.S. Senate, she said, the lack of connection can have life-threatening consequences, and that problem is structural as well as psychological. The same report went on to state, quote, the average household size in the U.S. has declined in the past decade, leading to a 10% increase in people feeling alone. According to the United States Census Bureau, over 1/4 of the U.S. population and 28% of adults now live by themselves. In Loma Linda University health article in May 2020, Caroline Osorio, MD, a geriatric psychiatrist at Loma Linda Behavioral Institute, is quoted as saying the effects about social distancing and COVID-19 pandemic, quote, the research tells us those lonely people are more likely to become ill, experience cognitive decline, and die earlier than those with more social lives. And again, 2019, U.S. Health and Resources and Services Administration said, we're told, quote, an estimated 6.7 billion with a B in annual federal spending is attributable to social isolation among older adults. Poor social relationships were associated with 29% increase in risk of coronary heart disease and a 32% risk in the risk of stroke. Did you know, church, there's different kinds of loneliness. Some of you might be experiencing them. My dad's in one of these categories right now. Sometimes loneliness is infrequent, and the state will pass. And there's other times people, they almost experience it as an experience of life. Dr. Jeffrey Young from Columbia University describes 3 kinds of loneliness. Jot it in your notes, would you? First off, there's transient loneliness. This lasts anywhere from a few minutes to a few hours. And periodically, almost everyone experienced this kind of loneliness. I remember first time Rhonda took one of the, we were newly married, and she took the youth group on a missions trip. Man, I was lonely. I recognized, man, I want to be around my wife. And I said, those trips have got to be shorter. She was going for 10 days. And just before she got back, I was leaving for 2 weeks in India. And I'm like, no more of that. But transient loneliness. Situational loneliness is another one. And this results from a significant event. You're lonely because your spouse dies. It still breaks my heart that when I call my dad will say at different times, you know, it's lonely around here, Brad. Your best friend moves away, maybe. Or you move to a totally different location where you don't know anyone. But the worst kind of loneliness I would submit to you is chronic loneliness. This is when people tend to become preoccupied with themselves and with their problems. In effect, they're determined, if you will, to be lonely. Dr. Young classifies the chronically lonely as people who feel lonely for more than 2 years at a time, apart from any traumatic event. Many people are lonely because they want to be lonely, sadly. Some of them will tell you, you know what, I'm just a loner. For others, it may be due to fear of intimacy or a depth of potential heartache that they might experience. Maybe due to a wound that happened in their past, somebody jilted them or hurt them. But the fact is, because of the wound, they self-isolate and they insulate themselves in order to feel safe. Regardless, they're alone because they choose to be alone. Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ knew what it was to feel alone and to be alone. On the night that he was crucified is where we'll pick up today. And I want you to see this. Would you stand with me for the reading of the word today? We're in John's Gospel, chapter 16. And I'm going to pick up reading at verse number 28, if you will. Everybody with me, say amen. You got to say amen louder than that, otherwise I'll feel alone today, all right? All right. Look what the word says. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciples said, now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. Stop right there. If you're ready to pat the disciples on the back and say, you know what? Hey, they got it. Man, good for them. Remember, within 24 hours, one guy is going to totally betray him. Another is going to deny him 3 times. And then the 10 rest, are going to scatter to their homes and forget about him. All right? But look what it says. You believe at last, Jesus answered. But look what he says. But a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will not leave me. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I want you to read that again. Pick up. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Say peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Lord, thanks for your word. Thanks that we don't have to go it alone in this life, Lord, that you care for us, you're with us, even to the end of the age. So Lord, in these next few moments, I pray that your word would come alive to us. People didn't come, Lord, to hear Brad Trask. That'll cause disappointment. Lord, they came to meet with and encounter you and hear your word. So I'm asking you, Lord, not out of false humility. It's my prayer. Oh God, if you can't speak through me, speak in spite of me to these people that you and I love today. And I pray, Lord, for people that might be watching online just because they've isolated themselves, or people in person that have struggled with loneliness. Would you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, minister to them this word today that you have for their lives? In Jesus' awesome and mighty name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Loneliness, right, is one of the chief causes of pain and suffering in our world today. The great Thomas Wolfe said, loneliness is the central and inevitable fact of human existence. Hank Williams wasn't the only person who felt so lonely he wanted to cry. If you're going to deal with the pain of loneliness, there's three important principles I think we can glean from the word today and speak into our hearts and our lives. First principle is this. Did you know that you can be in a crowd and still be lonesome? It's possible to be surrounded by people and still be lonely. Henry David Thoreau said, a city is a place where thousands of people can be lonely together. There's an epidemic of loneliness in America. And I would submit to you, it's not exhaustive, but I think there's two dynamics that have created the loneliness in our culture. Jot this down. Loneliness is caused by a mobilized culture. There was a time when most Americans stayed in the same job, in the same city for most of their lives, many times in the same house. Today, people change jobs and change addresses at a mind-boggling pace. For instance, each year, think about this, 43 million Americans move, which represents 16% of the population. I think half of those are moving to Florida, by the way. I gotta say that. The rate's much higher among young people. For those in their 20s, 32% of them will move in 1 year, compared to only 5% of them over 65 years of age. For a long time, there was a trend towards urbanization. People moved to the city, and there's parts of that. But did you know something? During the 1990s, people weren't moving towards the large cities, but the trend actually reversed after during the mid-90s and after the 90s. 2 million more people moved away from urban centers than migrated to urban areas. The restlessness and mobilization makes it difficult to establish what? Long-term relationships. Loneliness is caused by a mobilized culture. I would also say that loneliness is created by a depersonalized culture. Over the past 35 years, there's been an amazing technological advances in America. If you just watch some of the old TV shows, even back to the 90s, remember you'll see a cop that, man, you thought it was really cutting edge because they heard their pager beeping, if you will, and had to get to a phone to be able to call in what was the issue going on. But we've gone from pagers to cell phones to email and Twitter and Instagram and Twitch and Zoom and Microsoft Teams and instant messaging and DMing people and the like. And you would think that loneliness would decrease, but the exact opposite has occurred. These gadgets and technology have only served to depersonalize people. For instance, do you remember when you could call somebody and actually talk to a human being? I'm a real person. Today you dial a number and it goes right to voicemail or you're told to choose from a menu. And young people, I got to tell you this, okay? Those any 20 and younger, 25, 30 and younger, there used to be a time where you could actually drive up to a gas station and somebody would pump the gas for you. Can you believe that? That attendant would actually clean your windshield and check your oil if you wanted. Self-serve gas stations are just the reflection of a depersonalized society. Pay at the pump. There was a time when everyone walked into their bank and could talk to a real teller and they would ask about your family. Today, there's more than 400,000 just in America, 400,000 ATMs. And Americans have more than 200 million ATM cards. It's convenient, but it's an example of depersonalization. Or most of you, you know what, say, Pastor, that's old school. I bank online and do it all there. How about just going and flying on a plane? I mean, You get your boarding pass on your smartphone. You know what? You check through and you can just look in and it can read your eyes if you've got clear or TSA, or you don't have to talk to anybody. Just walk up and you can hold your phone there and just board on a plane without ever saying anything to anybody. Instead of speaking to a cashier at a grocery store, you've got self-serve checkout registers. It's only you and the computer, if you will. Or you can have it delivered to your house, or you can just sit in your car and somebody can put it in the back of your car when you're in the right spot. Even if I order on Wednesday night after church our routine, Jet's Pizza, I can get a robot answering the phone and I have to give my order to that pizza bot, if you will. Computers made shopping online an experience such that, you know what, you don't have to get in your car. I think we were returning one of Rhonda's online orders a few weeks ago, and it was on a Friday night at Novi Mall. Can I just inform you? Those are not going to be around. Those malls are not going to be around much longer. You could shoot a cannon in the place on that Friday night, and there was just nobody there. And the fact is, the favorite personality is who people can order from on QVC or online if they so choose. What's next? Self-service surgery? I like the cartoon of the man sitting there on a surgical table, all alone, the surgical instruments laid out beside him, and the sign on the bed says, self-service. And it's supposed to be funny, right? But if you watched a news program on CNN not too long ago, they advertised it. There was a physician who performed liposuction surgery on himself to make the use of the fatty tissue for his own stem cell research. This technological depersonalization has created the perfect environment for what? Loneliness. A loneliness environment. They don't thrive on interactive relationships. There's many causes, you have to agree. But most people experience loneliness because someone they loved is no longer with them. You might have experienced today, there's people in our church, when I look at you, I hurt with you. The fact is, the death of your spouse, we've had that in our family, and we're experiencing that firsthand with my mother's home going less than a year ago. And the fact is, some have experienced the loneliness through a divorce. For sure, loneliness is painful. The fact is, you can be in a crowd and still be lonesome. Number two principle is this. You can be all alone and yet not be lonely. You can be all alone and not yet be lonely. Just because you may be a widow or a single adult who lives alone, it doesn't necessarily mean that you are lonely. That's what we learn from the words of Jesus in John's Gospel, chapter 16. Jesus knew that when he was arrested, all the disciples are going to run and leave him alone. But he said what? Look at verse 32 again. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. In order to overcome loneliness, I want you to consider two facts. Number one is this. Solitude does not equate to loneliness. Say solitude. All of us need the chance to get alone and to find solitude. If you're the kind of person who can't stand to be alone with yourself, then you might have bigger problems. We were made to relate to others, but there's a great value for each and every one of us to spend time alone with God. That's why I encourage you, right? Please, you don't have to start out with an hour every day. But I encourage every Christian to have a morning quiet time, even if it's 10 or 15 minutes, just to go through YouVersion on your smartphone. But have a time that you sit still before the Lord. You read the Bible and then pray. Fasting from food is beneficial, but solitude is fasting from interaction so that you can be quiet before the Lord. In the hectic world that we live, the only way to maintain peace and stability is to seek solitude of being alone with God. The Bible says that there were multitudes of people that followed Jesus wherever he went. And they were always looking for a miracle or a special treat. Maybe he'll feed us like he did the 5,000. And it was a regular habit of Jesus to seek solitude and to commune with his Father. Look what the word, it's not on the screen, but before I read Mark's gospel, jot down another verse of scripture, just the Lord brought to my attention again this morning. Mark's gospel, chapter 6, verse 31, it says, come away with me, he said to his disciples, to a deserted place. He said, you know what, we've been involved in ministry, let's get some solitude. Look what the word testified about Jesus himself in Mark's gospel 1:35. Very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place to pray. How many of you know if Jesus needed to do that to commune with the Father, how much more do we need to do it? We need that solitude within our lives. If you want to find God's peace, then you've got to practice, it's a practice that you have to follow. Can I just, one more time, tomorrow morning, would you commit just 10, 15, 20 minutes earlier to get up and spend time alone with God? You'll find spiritual solitude that'll give you strength and peace in your relationship with Jesus. I promise you. Solitude does not equate to loneliness. Second principle I want you to see regarding that, or thing you need to understand, is this. Jesus understands your loneliness. Jesus understands your loneliness. Jesus experienced loneliness just as we do. Isaiah the prophet wrote this, and Jesus was the prophetic Messiah that he was referring to. But look what it says. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised, say despised, and we didn't value him. He was acquainted with suffering and grief. He knew what it was like to be rejected. Jesus, the fact of the matter is, basically, while he was on this earth, he was a homeless man. We read in Matthew's gospel, chapter 8, verse 20. Says Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus understood loneliness. Jesus had large crowds following around him. I said that, trying to find or seek out a miracle, or he was a superstar. But then when he started somewhere around John's gospel, chapter 6, he starts laying out the cost of discipleship. The crowd started bailing on him. Then among his inner 12, one betrayed him. Another denied him 3 times. And when the arrest was ready, we told you that, all the rest abandoned him. Jesus basically dies alone. Not only did Jesus die with a sense of loneliness, but the fact of the matter is, right? Hear me. On the cross, Jesus experienced loneliness from his Father. He and his father, were co-eternal, co-existent. Amen? He's part of the triune Godhead. It's not Jesus is less than the Father, but greater than the Holy Spirit. It's a triune Godhead. And he's co-existent, co-eternal with the Father. But in the moment that Jesus became sin, as we come to this Passion season, let us never forget that he became sin for you and me. We're going to celebrate that in a moment. What he did for you and I, he paid the price for you and me. Amen? Amen. But in that moment of utter loneliness, that when it became dark for 3 hours, God the Father turned away because he couldn't look at sin. He's so holy. And that's when Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Can be alone and not be lonely. Third idea is this. You can be cured of your loneliness. You can be cured by God. God wants to cure your loneliness by giving you flesh and blood friends. But he also wants to assure you of his love for you today. One, I love the story. This man, there was a storm this past week. I remember Tuesday or Wednesday, man, it was shaking. Our house was shaking. That storm that blew through at that night. But I love the story about a little boy. His mother's tucking him in, and he senses there's a violent storm, thunderstorm outside. And just as she's about to turn the light off after tucking him into bed, she hears a tremble in his voice, and her son says, "Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight?" And the mother smiled and gave him a reassuring hug and said, "Honey, I can't do that. I have to sleep with your daddy." The boy looked up and said, "That big baby." I want to share with you, this is how it works in the kingdom. When you surrender your life to Jesus, God welcomes you into his forever family. God's family, you know what it's called? The church. God's family is the church of Jesus Christ. Look what the word says through the psalmist. His name is the Lord, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. That's what our foster care and Heart's Cry is all about. Praise God for that. We thank the Lord. That's a verse of scripture that we stand on. But make no mistake about it. God places you in his forever family when you become his son or his daughter, when you're led by the Spirit. God wants you in his forever family. Loneliness might be an epidemic in America, but I want you to know God has a family for each of us. Dr. James Dennison, MD, said the loneliness scale, listen to this, of people of all ages who are active in a church was much lower. The loneliness scale was much lower than those who don't participate regularly in religious worship. I think part of the problem is that most of our teenagers, most of our Gen Zers and Y and the like, and even the adults are primarily connected through just social platforms, social media platforms. Cyber addiction has created a huge problem with loneliness in our nation. Being a loving church is one of God's cures for loneliness. You didn't come here today. Can I just say this? You ready? You didn't come here today just to be ministered to as you lifted up the name of the Lord. You didn't come to just hear a word or smile a little bit, you know what, and leave here and say, "Well, that was good." You came here with the potential to minister to many others. That's why God has placed you in his forever family. I want you to know that. Coming to the house of God, to God's family dwelling, friends, it's much more than just hearing music and a message. And I say this, I'm looking right into the camera. If you're watching online today, you're not physically able to attend worship, I want to say, God bless you. We are honored that you can participate with us in worship. We pray you do during the communion time. But if you're physically able to attend church and you're watching this online this morning, I want to say unequivocally, you're missing out on one of the greatest things that God can offer to you. A friendship in the house of God, fellowship with God's people, and the kindness of a congregation. There's always going to be somebody here that says welcome to every stranger who arrives. And if they haven't said it to you yet, if you're here for the very first time, let me say it unequivocally. You made our day coming to the house of God today. We believe that. God welcomes you into his forever family. And as the worship team comes back, I want you to look at this last idea. God promises his unfailing love. God wants to cure you of loneliness by giving you flesh and blood friends, the forever family. But he also wants to assure you of his love for you. Say this with me. My Lord.
My Lord.
Say nice love.
My Lord
loves me.
Loves me.
He loves you today, friend. He wants to assure you of his love for you. The Apostle Paul wrote this to the church at Rome. He said, "For I am persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor depth, height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What did Paul say? There's nothing that can separate you from God's love. God loves you today. If you know the Lord, you'll never be alone. Nothing can separate you from His love. God knows you and He loves you. The Bible says that your name is engraved on the palm of His hands. The word says that Jesus proclaimed it, that the Lord knows the numbers of hairs on our head. One of my all-time favorite hymns was "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." It asks in one of the verses, "Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer." Proverbs 18:24, "There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and that friend is Jesus." One day, Jesus was dying on a cross. There was a lonely thief that was hanging next to him. And that lonely man, amidst everything else that he saw going on, he saw Jesus speak forgiveness over those people. But that lonely man said, "Would you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" Jesus immediately looked at him and in essence said, "You don't have to be lonely anymore. Today, you'll be with me in paradise." What a story. The Beatles asked in the song entitled "Eleanor Rigby," "Oh, look at all the lonely people. Where do they all belong?" The answer to that is, they belong to God, who will love them with an everlasting love. They belong to a people of God that will love them no matter what state they're in. Jesus himself, it's recorded in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." The fact is that the Lord loves you today. And wherever you're watching today, you can belong with a body of believers that loves you where you're at. And you can experience God's love through them as well. Chuck Swindoll said, and I close it, "We will not become the men of God," and I would say, I'm sure that Chuck would say, "women of God," "without the presence of solitude with Him." In this quiet moment, as we prepare for Holy Communion, can I ask you to bow your heads? Those of you watching online, can I ask you, have you ever made a commitment to Jesus by just simply saying, "Lord, I'm committing my life to you because you gave yours for me. I admit I'm a sinner. I believe on you, Jesus, and I confess you as Lord." ABC. If you've never done that, would you go online right now to that link, brightonag.org/next, and we'll lead you in the path of salvation. And I want to speak to the people in the congregation today. And I just want to ask two questions. First off, is there anybody here today that you've never surrendered your life to Jesus? Or you're in that category, you're not walking with the Lord because you've turned your back on Him, or you've drifted from God. You've backslidden. You've walked away. But you're here today, and in a spiritual realm, you're lonely because you know you're not in right relationship with the Lord. But can I just say, today's your day, friend. God loves you. He knows everything that you've done, and He still welcomes you with open arms and says, "Come on back home. Come into a relationship with me." Is there someone here today? You just slip up your hand. You either want to rededicate your life to Jesus, or you want to come to know him as Lord and Savior for the very first time, would you just put up that hand across the sanctuary and catch eyes with me? If you're here today, just want to be in right relationship with Jesus. If that's you. With your head still bowed, I want to ask just one last question. And I won't embarrass anybody. I can assure you, over the course of time, there's been thousands of altar calls that we've given literally here. And the fact is, you know what? People that respond for a personal need, I don't remember, but I believe in asking people to respond, because when God, you read God's word, it reads you, and it just behooves us to respond. You're here today, and you just say, you know what? There's a spirit of loneliness about my life. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've, through events in your life, a divorce, a separation in a family, a wedge has been driven between family members. The list could go on. But you just, there's that, maybe it's because a spouse just isn't living for the Lord, and there's that spiritual loneliness there. You just, by an upraised hand, you just say, Lord, would you see my hand today? And Lord, would you meet me in this service? I cry out to you. If that's you, you just lift that hand. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Bless you. You're here today. Thank you, ma'am. You're here. You just lift that hand. Would you just say, Lord, you know where I'm at. Thank you that you do. You know, in the second chapter in the Bible, the word of the Lord says this, and I know it's about in regarding mates, but the fact of the matter is it's really for all people. That's why God created Eve. He said it's not good for man to be alone. Each and every one of us need people.